First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 6, from the verse number 6 to the verse number 12.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Godliness with contentment is a great gain. What is godliness with contentment? It cannot be man-made religion, aimless rituals, or human manufacturing of some feelings or sensations. It is not living just to eat and drink and seek some pleasures and satisfactions of sinful lusts and then die and be gone forever. It is not pursuit of worldly recognition. Among the people that sought and obtained wealth and fame in this world, we find the most unhappy and apparently permanently dissatisfied, disappointed, depressed, dangerous, and even self-destructive people. Religion without Christ the Savior is swinging between depression and oppression. What is godliness with contentment that we read about in this verse number 6? I would like to summarize that in a few words, just briefly. I lived in sin, in darkness, without Christ, on the path of everlasting doom. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, using the teaching of the gospel, the Word of God, moved me to seek His salvation, to seek His grace, His deliverance. In repentance, the Lord turned my heart around to follow Him, to believe His word and trust His grace. He blessed me with genuine faith and gave me the grace to follow Him on the path of righteousness, to do His will from the heart, to resist Satan that he must flee from me. The Lord gave me the new life, and that new life is in Christ, and Christ is in my heart. His Spirit is now ruling and controlling my life. Now I want to know only one thing. What is the will of the Lord for me? I will live and die with the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul is married to my heavenly Bridegroom. The need and longing of my soul and the desire of my heart resembles the words of Ruth the Moabitess in the first chapter of the book of Ruth, from the verse number 16 and on. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people is my people, and thy God is my God. I am determined to live and die with thee, and the death of this body will forever unite me with thee, the longing and the desire of my soul, my Savior and my Lord. The purpose of my life here in this world, on this earth, is to please my Heavenly Father and to glorify my Master, Lord Jesus. I am blessed in the fellowship of His Spirit. I am fed with the bread of heaven. By His Spirit and the Word of Truth, my Savior is daily guiding, protecting, and correcting me. In Christ, being redeemed and delivered from the deception of Satan, enlightened by His truth, both a multimillionaire and a poor widow with two coins dropping into the treasury of the Lord's house are equally wealthy, for in Christ all that the Father has for us is ours, now and forevermore. The two coins of the poor widow became an everlasting value greater than anything that all the wealth of the world can ever buy. That's godliness with contentment. I know my perspective in Christ Jesus our Lord, my everlasting future. His blessings upon me are untold, beyond measure, beyond description, beyond numbering. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter 16 from the verse number 22, the Lord Jesus is continuing His illustration of the diverse paths of human life in this world, and He said, "The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." And in the verse number 24, the rich man is crying, "A drop of water upon my tongue. I am tormented in this flame." Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 7, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. All that we have in our possession is part of our stewardship, all we receive from the Lord and use to please the Lord." That's godliness with contentment. At the end of that labor, at the end of that journey, is joy everlasting. And the pretaste of that joy we enjoy here as long as we are living in that way, godliness with contentment. May the Lord help us to realize the value, the worthiness of true godliness, that we may experience to the fullest measure that contentment, that peace, and the pretaste of the heavenly joy. Of course we need food, of course we need raiment, of course we need a shelter, of course we have all these needs because we live in this flesh. And the Word of God is instructing us to strive to obtain satisfaction of those needs, and also to labor to have something to offer help to those that are in a greater need than ours. But our satisfaction and contentment should not be in seeking vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Of course we want to accomplish the best results from our labor. In our businesses, we are striving for the best possible income, but we are striving for honest gain, and the purpose and the goal of that gain is to be more efficient in our ministry, in our service to the Lord. Anything less than that is a snare of Satan, is a self-deception. If I am dreaming about living in wealth and riches in this world, I am already deceived. If I promise to myself I will follow the Lord as soon as I accomplish so much of the worldly goods, I'm in a snare already. But when I followed the Lord unconditionally, trusting and relying on His will, He is giving me the power and the opportunity to use all my poverty or my wealth to serve Him and to help my fellow believer to be a witness for the gospel truth in this world. I become a living invitation to every sinner to repent and seek and find the Savior. In the verse number 10, we read, "The love of money is the root of all evil." I don't recall ever seeing somebody that is hugging money and kissing money and just looking at that money and adoring it. I think we are reading in this verse about selfishness and greed. A false religion, a deceiving belief that in wealth is happiness. If I trust in wealth and commit my lifetime and my labor to accumulating material goods, I'm falling into that temptation of the whole world. I allowed Satan to put a snare upon my soul. I'm on the path of losing the joy of my Lord's salvation. And in my foolishness, I fill my heart with hurtful lusts. These lusts and that foolishness is growing, is developing, it's accelerating, and finally it's a great flood that drowned my soul in self-destruction until complete perdition. That is the way of the world, the path into everlasting doom. As Satan himself is self-condemned to feed upon the dust, so is he feeding his slaves, his victims, with self-deception, self-pollution, self-corruption, self-destruction. The whole world is doomed to hell, except those that seek and find their Savior in Christ the Lord. Vanity and pride, pursuit of happiness in material goods, in wealth and riches, shift my focus from my Savior to the world, and make me slip from the path of faith and faithfulness into emptiness and faithlessness, greed and selfishness. The end of that path is like an awful, deadly spear against me. The end of that path is self-destruction. In the verse number 11, the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy and to every one of us, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't waste your time trying to modify your lusting. Get rid of it. Don't waste your time and strength and your ability, your health, your opportunities to be less worldly and more religious. Turn away from all that is evil. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our joy and our happiness. He is our safety and security. Follow after righteousness. Christ the Savior is our righteousness and also our example how to follow Him in godliness, in righteousness, in faith, in love, in patience, in meekness." When Paul is suggesting to us, advising us to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, to follow, somebody is ahead of us and we need to follow that person. The Lord Jesus Christ is ahead of us by His example. And His apostles and the faithful disciples followed Him. And the prayer and sincere desire of all genuine disciples is to be a link in that unbroken chain of the faithful witnesses to the gospel truth, those that by a good example of godliness glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are content, they are pleased to serve Him. They are not forced into that, into godliness. What is righteousness? Doing the will of the Lord in every situation. What is godliness? Doing the will of the Lord for His sake, to please Him. What is faith? Believing and practicing His teaching. What is love? Doing His will from the heart. What is patience? Full acceptance of the ministry that He has given me. What is meekness? He is my Lord. I am His disciple, His servant. In all of that, we are advised here to follow the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. He is godly. He is perfectly divine. He is faithful in everything. He is love. And how patient He is. He humbled Himself to the death on the cross. Whichever way we turn, whichever path we choose, we will have battles, we will have to fight. But the only good fight is the fight of faith. The only leader and the captain of the victorious host is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. All the other leaders are losers. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying Him, we become established in that everlasting life. The promise of eternal life is so sound and stable in our mind and heart, we have no doubts, no fears. This is the call and invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, our Savior. The apostles received that call and they followed after that righteousness. Timothy received this call. And here he is, ministering to his fellow believers and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We are hearing this call. Let us receive that call and cherish that call and follow the godly examples. They professed a good profession before many witnesses. And now we are surrounded by many witnesses. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds upon our way. And what are the riches of the whole world in comparison with the wealth, everlasting value of being in Christ our Lord and Savior?